to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. This is just a public service announcement for you. Sunday is Mother's Day. You don't want to forget about that one. If your mother is still alive, make sure that you plan a special something for her. Make her day. In fact, I encourage you, make all the ladies in your life aware of just what a valuable gift from God that you consider them. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. We are glad that you have tuned into the Refresh Radio program today. And we hope that as we go through this passage, that something will be shared that will impact your life in a positive way. I want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete who've been in Brevard County for decades and decades and decades. They've been, the Anderson family has been part of Merritt Assembly of God longer than I've been part of Merritt Assembly of God, and I've been there for 33 years. But they are very, very gifted in all things concrete. They have the experience, the expertise, and the great work ethic to do the job right, to do it right the first time. They can come out, assess the situation, let you know how much it'll cost. They can tell you about the materials that will be needed. They can come do the preparation. They do the pouring, the finishing, the cleanup, and then they get out of the way and let your project move forward. If that sounds like something that could be of benefit to you, they can be reached at 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. And Greg is another one of those people here in that has a May birthday. And it's very easy for me to remember when his is because it's right next to mine. And so hopefully you are going to be having a great month of May celebrating mothers. And if you've got a concrete job, you can reach out to them. This is also week number two of the spring offering here at WMIE. If you feel the Lord laying on your heart to help support the radio ministry here, 321-632-1000. And we are greatly appreciative of all the help to make sure that the transmitters and the computers and the equalizers and the soundboards and a whole bunch of things that I don't know what the names are, that all of that works the way it's supposed to get the gospel out to those who desperately need to hear it. Today we're going to return to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 32. It says, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companion of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul." So yesterday, or Friday, we were talking about, let me find out where, verse number 36, for you have need of endurance. That was what we were talking about at the end of the program there on Friday. Endurance is not easy to develop. I know when the last time that I was trying to jog for on purpose, that what I had to do was I had to set myself a goal and said, let's see if we can make it that far. And then once I got to that goal, then I had to say, okay, do I need to slow the pace down, or do I think that I can continue to press to see if I could get the next objective? Normally, those would be a street sign or a tree or a bridge. Just however far I was trying to go, I solved that problem by quitting jogging. That's how I solved that problem. Went to just walking. I can run. I just don't really enjoy it. And I don't want to be doing that to my knees at this point in time. And so now I just walk. But it's one thing when you're talking about physical endurance. It's another thing when you're talking about spiritual endurance, where you have the patient endurance of the saints. It comes as a result of the strength of God operating in us. It comes from waiting upon the Lord, who will renew our strength. It comes from His omnipotence operating inside of us. It's not just strength. It is continuing to persevere even during challenging seasons, even during difficult or confusing seasons. It comes and it says, I'm going to stay the course no matter what my feelings are, no matter if I'm alone or if there's a crowd of people. I'm going to continue to persevere for the glory of God. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God. A lot of times we talk about the will of God and we frame it in such a way, okay, what is the will of God, and is this event, is this job, is this the place that He wants me to be at this exact moment? We talk about the will of God in those contexts, with relationships, with purchases, with finances and things like that, relationships, all those things. Well, what's the will of God in that? Well, this talks about what happens after we have done the will of God. In other words, we lived up to the obedience that was being asked of us. We endured. We didn't just begin it. We completed it. God is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And here's the thing, that the will of God is setting us up to receive the promises that God has made to us. I don't remember exactly when it was that God shared this in my spirit. It was quite a while ago, that one of the distinctions between God and the devil, and there are many and they're not even close, is God sets His people up to succeed and the devil sets people up to fail. And then when you do fail, that the enemy sets you up to fail, then he wants to beat you up for failing. God wants to set us up to succeed. So there is a reason that God says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, concerning you. There's a reason why we're supposed to be thankful. There is a reason why we're supposed to live a moral and godly life. There's a promise on the other side of that will. And so the first commandment with promise is honor your father and mother. And like I said, this coming Sunday is Mother's Day. You don't want to forget that. But there's a reason. It was a commandment with a promise attached to it that they would be able to live long in the land, enjoy the experience in the land. It was going to be beneficial. So honoring your father and mother is not just about relational dynamic, but it sets us up for a godly, fruitful, productive, enjoyable life. That's what happens. The will of God. Do I do this or do that? Well, one of them sets you up for misery. The other one sets you up for the joy of the Lord and a commendation from God. And so I want to encourage you to live a life that is obedient to the will of God, that you may receive the promise. One of these days, probably on February the 30th, there is no February 30th, I would like to take time to write a book. I don't know when or how or any, but the name of the book was Don't Forget the Receiving. Don't forget the receiving. We are very good in church at praying and asking and knocking. But we need to be aware that the asking and the seeking and the knocking is for the receiving, the finding, and the opening. God's not just having us, go through the motions. There's a reason. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Is whenever I get around to writing that book, I'd like to talk about some of the greatest receptions that have happened in sports. And, that the reason that those plays go down is because someone took it upon themselves to become a very good receiver. They either had the speed, they knew how to run the routes, they knew how to be in the place that they were supposed to be at exactly the right time. They knew where the ball was going to be. There was the quarterback's responsibility, but the receiver also has the responsibility to run the correct route. And so doing the will of God is us saying to God, I am going to do what I am supposed to do. I'm going to put myself in the position you want me to be in to the glory of God. I'm going to give it my all because there's a promise that is there that we need to receive. And so let me, like I told you, I'm going to say this a lot. Mother's Day is Sunday. I'm intentional about that. Don't forget. Kids are really good at remembering when you make them a promise. And if you don't fulfill that promise, and don't explain to them why you weren't able to fulfill that promise, they'll remember that as well. And so I'm hoping, as we're going through this passage, to encourage that an understanding that the will of God is not just about the event, is about what comes after the event. If you, to put it in football terms, it's about the yards after the catch, if you will. It's what comes next. Well, for the believer, there is the receiving the promise. As you look in the text, all of a sudden, the information of the letter has an interruption that takes place, and he begins to quote from Habakkuk chapter 2. It says, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, and if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And so it talks about that it's just a little while. And that means a lot of different things to a lot of people. If you're the person that's doing the waiting, a little while seems like it's taking forever. I was reading a quote, and it said, "God is never late, but he's missed an awful lot of opportunities to be early." And that's just a little humorous thing that I saw on someone. I think someone posted that about a pastor that they had when they were growing up. But let me take you back to the book of Habakkuk. And it is right after the book of Nahum. And it is right, it's towards the back of the Minor Prophets. And it's right before the book of Zephaniah. So here's what it says in verse number 2. "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." And so here in Hebrews, it's taking us back to a time when Habakkuk was crying out on behalf of his people. And he was talking about all of the sin that was going on in Israel. And then God says, don't worry about it. I'm raising up the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, and they're going to come. They're going to deal with Israel's sin problem. And then Habakkuk starts asking, how can this be, since there are more wicked people than what we are? And then he says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch and see what he will say and what I will answer when I am corrected." And he says, "Write the vision and make it plain, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time." So, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. So God, when he announces that something is coming, it's going to come to pass. Habakkuk was greatly troubled by what he heard. And his responsibility was to write it down in a very plain and easy to understand manner. And he said, "For the vision is for an appointed time." You and I may think that everything is happening in a very unstructured way, but I believe that God has appointments, that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Okay? There, this it talks about the appointed time when Babylon was going to deal with Israel's sin, that they were going to be carried off into captivity, and then later on, Babylon was going to be dealt with on its own merit. And it was. And that judgment came when they were desecrating the vessels that had been in the temple of God. They had been set aside for holy purpose, and the Babylonian king was using it for ungodly purposes. And then all of a sudden he started seeing a hand writing on a wall, and everybody's like, wait a minute, we don't know what's going on here. And the queen mother said, don't panic, call for Daniel. He's got a spirit of excellence inside of him. And Daniel came in and he said, keep the reward you've promised. It's not going to mean anything anyway. And he begins to explain to him that they'd been weighed in the balance and found wanting, and judgment was coming, and it was going to be handled by the Medes and the Persians. And it was. There's an appointed time. In the book of Acts, it talks about that you and I, that we are chosen by God for certain times and certain places. Here's what I believe. I believe that God wants to strategically place every believer to where others are going to hear the gospel, and we're going to be able to thrive in our relationship with him. Now, like we've talked about, if you believe that God has placed you, that means that it's going to be required of some patient endurance on the part of the saint. Because sometimes you're going to be wanting for a safe place. Sometimes you're going to be wanting to be in a place where the storm's not so intense. I had some plants that did not fare so well because of the side of the building that they were placed on, because they had more exposure to the cold weather that we had earlier this year. I had some other plants that though they were impacted, they survived okay. And all the while, we're inside the house wanting to stay all nice, warm, and toasty. So if we realize that God is the one who wants to strategically place us, that means that our prayer life needs to be intensifying, because when we know that God has a place for us, we need to know where that place is. And once he's planted us, we need to be fruitful there. And so that's why I have viewed the ministry, my pastoral ministry, in a military fashion. Because God is my commander in chief. And when people in our church who've been in the military, when their commanding officer says, okay, this is your last day here, tomorrow's going to be your first day on your journey to your next assignment, then they get uprooted, the moving trucks come in, and they move them off to their next assignment. And for me, now the only thing that can change that is if they decide that they're retiring, and then that the military, I think, will make one move for them after that, and then after that they're on their own. So for me, when I know that God has strategically placed me, even though there may be things that look greener over to in that area or more fruitful over in that area, none of that matters when you know that God has placed you for such a time as this. the temptation that Habakkuk writes about is that the lingering time, the time in between the announcement and the fulfillment of that promise, can seem like God has forgotten what he has mentioned. And what it says here in verse number 3 is, though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it. King Saul got in trouble because he was waiting for Samuel to show up, and he was running into some impatient people, and King Saul ended up taking Samuel's responsibility upon himself. And when he did that, Samuel showed up and said, "What are you doing?" And Saul, being the responsible person that he was, said, "It's their fault. They made me do it." And Samuel said, "You didn't wait. You didn't wait. And the kingdom is not going to endure in your hands." There was another assignment that Saul was given, and he thought his plan was better than God's plan. And Samuel showed up, and King Saul said, "Hey, I fulfilled my orders." And Samuel said, "What's the sound of the bleating of sheep that I hear in my ears?" And Saul had started off very humble and had become quite arrogant. And that arrogance led to his downfall, and it set the stage for King David to come to the throne. Let's spend 2026 not insisting on God functioning on our time schedule, but us committing to God's time schedule. God, what you said, we believe. It may not happen exactly the way we want it, when we want it, but God, we want you to understand, we're waiting on you. It's your promise. We're your people. You'll make it happen. We're waiting on your orders, but we know this, what you've said will come to pass. God bless you. You have a fantastic day. Again, 321-632-1000 if you'd like to partner with WMIE for the next 6 months. And don't forget, Mother's Day Sunday. Plan ahead now. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."